Welcome, friends and adventurers, to another episode of Dungeons and Blackguards, a weekly Dungeons and Dragons actual play podcast. I am the Dungeon Master, Robulon. Joining me, in no particular order, are the players and their level 2 characters.
Brandon.
Playing Ikaruk Boonslay, Blood Hunter, Half-Orc.
Homo.
Hey, I'm Steve Tehuman, Human Ranger.
Caleb.
My name's Caleb. I am a Warforged robot named Kaitoa Tata.
Brayden.
I am Beleg Degar, Half-Elf Warlock.
Previously on Dungeons and Blackguards, in the Temple of Dan, the party pickpocket a priest and purchase a package of small red granules. In the marketplace, a gnomish weapons vendor calls out Beleg Half-Elf by name, and then suggests the party finds a larger-than-normal metalsmith. In that same moment, Steve reclaims his prized dagger. Finally free of their massive collars, the four adventurers now hear the ringing of the town bell as they stand in the Firbolg Smith's massive workshop. Episode 6, The Purge.
Okay. Yeah, I don't like the sound of this, guys.
Beleg turns back to a guard. Yeah.
Is there anything I can check for that's better than my stone dreidel?
Well, many different forms and shapes of metal you see here, but no completed weapons in this workshop. And as you four direct your attention back inside the workshop, you note the Firbolg has disappeared.
Like, he just disappeared?
That's right, Steve. He is no longer at his position at the lever to the trip hammer. He appears to have left while the bell was ringing out and your attention was elsewhere.
Are we, what time are we at now here?
You have only been in this workshop for 15 minutes or so. So evening is definitely wearing into the night. Very close to nightfall proper here in the cold spring air.
So initially we were about 25 minutes to like kind of night. So we're probably around 20, 15 minutes, kind of in that range.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dude, it's seventh day. Something bad's going to happen this night. It's an alarm to get the fuck inside. The streets are running hype. Yeah, it's the purge. Yeah.
It's the purge. It's the first purge.
Something's happening, man. Like,
hey,
we need weapons.
Rob, weapons. Being that we're in a metal shop, any like nail-like, spike-like objects that I can get a hold of?
As you survey around the room, there are these small but heavy dark gray metal spikes. And it would appear that the Firbolg makes these items in some quantity.
I pick one up, give it a flip, and then if there's like a wooden beam, I do my best to throw it and see how it flies.
Oh yeah!
I like it.
It hits the mark, this little spike.
How many can I grab?
You can grab as many as your haute couture hobo outfit can reasonably conceive and carry.
I'll even, if they're sharp enough, stab them through so they're kind of like hung into the cloth itself.
Okay, how many did you take?
I will take.
Tell you what, roll a d12.
Yep. I take 11.
Okay, you're nice. Loading up on sharp pointed objects. Rest of the group, what will you do?
I'm grabbing a giant beam like piece of metal. If that was used and pretty common, I'm going to take a big beam chunk of metal over the fucking dagger.
What about like dreidel. A large hammer or something, too?
Dreidel. Or yeah, if there's any kind of like smithing hammer or. Is there anything, or do you want me to roll for that, I guess?
In this workshop, you see lots of source material and metal.
Yeah.
That's clearly to be melted down, but nothing with a handle end or a weapon head. And Kaitoa, as you look more around the workshop, you notice this is not a smithy that finishes weapons, but a forge or a foundry that takes the raw material and casts it into large forms.
Okay, what's a... Oh, fuck. Never mind.
I wanted to look kind of outside of the shop and see any of the shops like beside us, if they are more of a smith shop.
Okay, Rook, so as you peer into the sort of open workyard to the adjacent smithies, these shops seem closed now. There are no visible workers, but these other workshops do look like they craft weapons, and you see, as you look closer, dozens of blanks, perhaps some with sharp edges, but most without handles or pommels. So, you know, not quite completed.
Okay.
But there they are.
Hey, guys. The guys, the shops next to us have some blanks that we could probably go over there and be a little bit more of use than what we can find in here.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be people in those probably, and we'll have to, like, are we kicking down a door and robbing them, or are we, like, they're closed up, right?
Well, they seem to have mysteriously disappeared, like our friend here, so, you know, I think
we can
approach with caution. And
okay, sweet.
I'm going to move to the closest kind of smith shop there to suss it out.
I'm going to the next one to look at their weapons.
So the four of you are just going one entrance over and are looking deeper now into the open area workyard, workshop beside the Firbolg's foundry, and you see a whole array of melee weapons laid out in various stages of construction. And lo and behold, there is a rack of completed items. You see in order a battle axe, a flail, a great sword, a lance, a pike. There's a rapier, a scimitar, short sword, and a warhammer.
I walk right in and go right for that fucking axe.
That great axe is heavy, two-handed.
I want heavy two-handed.
Okay.
Yours. Or actually, is there any shields in there?
There are no shields. This is a melee and edged weapons shop, smithy.
Oh.
Yeah. So many choices.
Bludgeoning or chopping? I'm going to go battle axe.
Okay, the great axe. That is a big weapon. 1d12.
Yeah.
And that seems like a good weapon for a giant living construct.
So can we all grab a weapon right now?
Sure. At the moment, it is still very quiet in this workyard you have trespassed into.
So was there any other swords or just short sword?
Short sword and a scimitar. Scimitar. There's a scimitar. Slashing.
I want that scimitar so bad.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with the two short swords that I've got because on the level two, I kind of went with the dual weapon upgrade there. So
you're sticking with your guard dual wielding short swords. Okay. And then Beleg, is there anything you're going to pocket?
Yeah, I want that scimitar.
Okay, you can just go up and grab it.
I'm going to. I do. I grab the scimitar.
Am I able to see if there's any armor, perhaps?
Any armor?
Yeah.
There is no armor here. This smithy only appears to craft and finish weapons.
Damn. Is there any... Can I do like a quick search nearby to see if there's an armorer, perhaps?
Sure. There are still three more. And if you take a quick look around, you see one makes shields, one makes breastplates, and other ancillary armor products. So there are two more shops to go.
Yeah, I will take... What can I find?
And as you go over to look closer, you see a candlelight come on from the melee weapon smithy you have all just stolen from. And as you go over to the armor workshop, you see not very many completed goods, but there is a leather, looks like a studded leather armor top piece. There are various other portions in some state of completion, and there is also one completed chainmail shirt.
I grab that chainmail shirt.
All right, as you four stealthily get into this workyard, you hear quite the commotion from the previous workshop you just pilfered from. Ah, can everybody make a stealth roll?
Yeah.
Let me see if Steve just gets his chain shirt.
Nice.
Buff yourself there. 15.
Yeah, I've got a 15 as well.
Oh, 19.
Shit. Oh, 19. Shit.
Yeah.
Brandon?
I'm a 21.
Yeah.
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 Good. You're great thieves. Okay. So, Steve, you managed to quickly and lightly don that chainmail shirt. And are you putting that over or under your urban camouflage?
Oh, it's definitely going under.
Okay, so you guys are going to have to wait for just a sec while Steve does a little switching. And during that time, as Steve is putting on his shirt, all of you hear a loud sound from outside the town walls. This is no town bell ringing. Ominous as that was only 10 minutes ago, this is a deep, echoing horn blast.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah.
Does anybody have any checks on types of horn blasts?
I can do an investigation, but that's about it.
I will take insight.
Yeah.
I will take investigation. I will take history. And I will take things like even survival.
All right. Insight is what I'm going to roll. Jack diddly. I got like 7.
I'm going to roll it. Investigation. I got a 12.
I am going to roll survival because this reminds me of the times that I heard the war horns of whatever weird tribes of humanoids that were out there in the wild. And I rolled a 23.
Aha! Okay. I rolled a 19, and I'm using survival also because I was a soldier as far as my past. So I know, like, war horns, I'd assume. And it's only a plus one. So 20.
You were a soldier too, eh?
Yep. So that's how I was going to intimidation and trying to.
Yeah, we should connect on that later.
Yep.
So the four of you exchange glances. You have heard this type of war horn before, often presaging the appearance of, like you said, Steve, and like you would also know, Kaitoa, from your previous travels. These are humanoids from the wilderness that have a terrifying, hyena-like, cackling laugh.
Oh, no.
Okay. Yeah, we wanted this. It's the purge. It's the purge. Yeah, it sounds like we're going to have to fight, guys.
Well, do we want to get high up as a better vantage point, or what do you guys think?
It wouldn't be a bad idea to get somewhere. We either try and escape the town, like right now we try and book it.
Bellic wants to fight.
Steve?
So they're everyone, as far as the villagers...
At gone. The moment, friends, you are not really in a place to make that assessment. You're still just at the smallish sort of shared workyard clearing of the smithies behind the temple where the workers seem to have already left their shops and workstations as of 10 minutes ago. So no townsfolk around here anyways.
All right.
Oh, but you do hear reaching your ears, shouting.
To the wolves!
To the wolves!
To the guards!
To the guards!
Fuck.
Okay. There was a fortress here, right?
Correct. When you approached Lot Morrow from the east, the angle where you approached it was the
castle.
The small castle. With slightly better fortifications around it.
Yeah. Do we want to go towards that? Towards the better fortifications?
You'd be running across the market.
But everybody else is distracted in a different direction.
Yeah, which way do you guys want to go?
Well, I'm assuming there's going to be guards on the wall. That may give us enough time to get to a more defensible position.
The castle's going to be pretty guarded, you'd think, too, though.
Perhaps, but we're not whatever's out there, so they may let us in.
Yep. We have weapons, yeah. And you could be like, we're here to fight.
I like going to the castle.
Okay. And like I said last time, there's probably an exit out of the castle, like a escape route.
Okay, so are you guys taking off towards the castle?
Yeah.
Okay, as you come around the corner of the temple and the market clearing comes back into view, all you really see is the tail end of a couple people leaving the clearing. As you look all the way down to where Beleg made his ruse with Chip and Kip,
yeah.
You see a ton of guards at that gate. There's probably 7 guards all at the gate. None of them are looking back towards you. And you can see all the way up to the castle as well from your vantage point at the market. It's very well lit at the front of the castle. And you also see guards running in that direction.
Into the castle.
Should we go towards the most defensible position, or should we...
Oh, I really want to go to the...
join the fight, or we go through the castle and try and get out.
But can we get into the castle?
Yeah, exactly.
Go take a look.
If we can get into the castle, probably our best opportunity.
Or what about going west out the other direction, where we don't know if there's...
Why are we leaving the town, though?
Because why do we need to be here? We have collars off and we have weapons.
But the guys that are coming in are coming from the outside of the wall, right? We don't know. It sounds like they're from the forest, which would not be along the river. That'd be kind of where we came from, right?
Yeah.
Completionist in me wants to stay here longer.
Yeah,
I'm looking for a tall building that I can scale up. I want to get a better view.
I love the options you guys are running through. I mean, like, leaving is an interesting idea. Getting a vantage point, Steve. So you're crossing the market now. What you can do is, in the merchants area, those are fairly tall buildings. So
I look for, like, the tallest.
I assume that as you guys are running across the market, you're having this discussion. You're saying, which way, why do we need to stay here? The robot's saying, should we stay at all? Beleg says, I kind of feel like we should stay. And Steve, you scramble up onto a building.
I've just got it in my mind, find a tree, get a better view. Figure out where you are, find a tree, get a better view. So for me, the closest thing would probably be the tallest building I could find.
Okay, yeah. you scramble up quickly, and you see lanterns being put out in all of the craftsmen areas. Lanterns still seem to be on at the temple and at the gates and at the castle. The merchant building that you're on top of, as you look down into it, is all just full of clothes.
Clothes.
And the three of you, Beleg and Rook and Kaitoa, you notice that Steve's kind of jumped up to take a look of what's happening.
Is the castle gate closing, or is it open still, or what's the story there?
It is open, and you see I'm 7 or 8 guards running in.
So I'm tempted to go in there.
Beleg looks like a guard again. and he runs in.
Okay, so Beleg, you're in your guard disguise, and you're running up the path going towards the castle?
Yeah, right with the guards. Right with the other guards.
Okay, you're going to try and catch up to them. Okay, fair enough. Rook, what are you doing?
Oh, that's a tough one. I'm going to follow behind Beleg.
Okay, you're following behind about how far?
I'm going to give a little bit of distance, so I'm going to be about probably about 10 feet behind.
Okay.
Just so that way if things kind of I can kind of see where they go, the other guards.
Okay.
There.
Momentum is just happening here. Kaitoa, you see these two starting to make their way up, and Steve at the same time, you see momentum's just taking them towards the castle.
Can I rooftop run alongside that main drag?
You can. You're going to be able to make it.
Yeah.
You'd have to make a jump there. But you can do it. You rooftop parkour the shit.
Let's parkour it.
And Kaitoa? Yeah.
Yep, I just run down the street after him.
Love it. A sort of, what would this be? Like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon sort of scene. You're just flying.
Great movie.
Town. one of you's up on the roof. The other ones are flying through.
Greetings, listeners. Are you looking to add more D&D fun to your lineup? Then be sure to check out Party Advantage, a D&D 5th edition play podcast featuring two campaigns alternating each week. In the Arius Adventures, you'll set off into the land of Arius, from the ancient dragon gods that created this world to the rise and fall of various races and civilizations. This land has history that stretches far into times long forgotten. Our heroes find themselves on a journey that will take them to the busy city of gnomes, the gilded halls of the high elves, and to the deepest depths of the Underdark. Then in the Farwind Saga, you'll travel with our group of anti-heroes for their suspense-filled exploits as they explore the enigmatic continent of Farwind. This is an ancient land lost to the histories of Faerun, where mystery and danger shroud the deep forest, forbidden mountains, and dark mires. Yet every risk offers tantalizing rewards to those brave enough to take them. Will these parties gain the advantage on their next encounter? Find out every Wednesday on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. See you then.
What's your speed, Beleg?
30.
Okay, so you're not gaining on the guards at all.
No.
They're running at a full clip, and so are you. And as you guys get within about 30 feet of the gate, all the guards get inside, and the doors slam shut.
How big's this wall?
Roughly 18-foot high walls with turrets, the same type as the rest of Lotmuro. And these are clearly manned.
So we're all stuck inside? Like, I'm stuck in...
You are all stuck on the outside of the
castle? Yeah, 30 feet away. Yeah.
How tall are the buildings on the outside?
Were they inside or the outside?
Outside of the castle.
Outside.
So how tall are the buildings on the outside?
Okay, well, as you look up, well, these are almost the only two-story buildings you've seen around, so they're also about 18 feet in height as well.
So the buildings are and the walls are.
Correct. So, yeah, like the town of Lotmuro marches up towards the height of the walls in some places. You know, the delineation between buildings and rooftops is unclear. Kind of favela look.
Yeah. Beleg wants to fight right now, just so you guys know. Like, he's, like, itching. he's, like, he feels so close to being able to fight.
Robin, is there a building that is, like, roughly the same height and really close to the wall?
There is. And Kaitoa, as you look up around you at the height of the rooftops, you see right in front of you to the north the high gates and towers of the castle. And as you turn around and look back down the street to your south, there is the market you passed through, and just then, you hear an unmistakable sound.
Does Steve know?
You know what that is, Steve.
Yeah. We got a gnoll problem.
A gnoll problem?
Mm-hmm. Is that kind of like a troll, like with big purple hair?
Yeah. And Steve, with your slightly higher vantage point, as you look back to the market, you can see a pack of gnolls coming right up the street towards the castle gates. So you have spotted them.
How many?
Five.
Five. Have they seen us?
They are currently running towards the castle.
Not us.
I'm going to head to that craftsman area to the left of the castle.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going kind of for that clearing area there. I'm trying to duck into that in between the buildings. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's where I was moving right off the bat, just kind of in there.
Steve finds a shadow, falls into it.
Yeah, same.
Okay, you guys are, I guess, now pressing to the side of the alleyway. Sorry, Beleg, what are you doing?
turn into a gnoll.
No, fuck.
You have that ability.
Okay, so where is everybody else right now?
I went to the closest, tallest building to the wall, and then heard that cackle, and I just found a shadow there.
Oh, God.
Let's kill some
Beleg is committed to fighting already.
Yep.
Yeah, I want to.
Okay, Kaitoa.
Is there a way into this building that we're against the triangle?
There is not. You found yourself at the highest walled buildings.
Okay, is there anything in that lot, or is it just open?
Well, things we're getting used to in this town, discarded objects, wagon wheels, bits of refuse, cluttering the scene.
Yeah.
The streets, the alleyways, a lot of discarded stuff around here.
I just stay against that one wall there and just try and stay against the wall and quiet.
Okay. Beleg.
Do they see me?
The moment you haven't been seen.
We technically would have advantage right now.
Yeah, that's fair. Can I slink back into the alleyway, cause if they're going to the castle, and ready Hex?
Of course you can, Peleg.
Alright, that's what I want to do.
Tomo.
Steve. Steve is hiding. What Steve knows how to do is how to pull things into positions where... what he wants to do is see where they go. He's hiding, and the hope in Steve's mind is he wants to see what they're going to do once they get to the doors of this castle. In the hopes that there will be a sort of defense that we can pinch them in between. So I want to see if the castle defenders will attack them, and if they do... That's when I'll spring into action. But I'm going to let them pass first.
Okay, as you four get into position, the gnolls have advanced. Five gnolls in a triangular formation. Steve, you can see them charging now up the street in a V formation.
Flying V bullshit. Like
quack, quack.
I just want to see if at the front are any of them noticing me, or are they just like
passive perception? No, they are dashing up the street right for the castle gate, not taking notice of much else, not looking up at the rooftops. But yes, they are scanning the streets for sure.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna hug that tightest wall that I'm on there to. Everybody keep myself yep. stealth mode.
Just waiting for them to pass.
Yeah, I've got my prepared spell.
I'm not acting until their backs are to me. I just want to see what defense, if any, is going to come from this castle.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys are going to let them run past, and essentially roll the dice on yep. whether you're seen. But if not, you'd like to see what they do if they pass you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Let's try it out, guys. Okay, here we go.
Like, so, if anything, I think they'll go and maybe one or two might see us and stop. The rest should keep going.
Maybe you draw a couple off.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm already rolling. And then...
Oh, are you? I couldn't hear.
Tomo, you won't need to roll anything. We're considering...
That was his new cell phone ring.
You're going to get the drop on this.
Be an awesome ringtone.
As the three gnolls pass, could I get three stealth checks? Blend into darkness checks.
Oh, yes.
14.
For me, that's 22.
Wait, what?
22.
Nice.
14 plus 1, so 15.
Okay, as these five gnolls run past, the last gnoll turns around, and so four have made it past your position, but the fifth one turns around and sniffs the air and looks around and sees you three on the ground. Roll initiative.
Yes.
Yeah.
Three. I'm 22. I should be killing it.
Okay, it's just a 1d20, right? No yeah. additions.
I'm 16.
I'm 18.
13 plus 2, so 15.
Okay, so Beleg, 16. Rook, 15. Yeah. Kaitoa.
18 plus 1.
19.
Yep.
Steve, at the moment you can engage or not. You can roll initiative.
I'm going to engage.
Okay. Roll.
How neutral. Just wait.
Yeah. What was your initiative, Steve?
My initiative was an 8.
Actually kind of makes sense given how they just ran past you. And Steve is actually the furthest away now. You are now engaging one gnoll. And this gnoll rolls an 11. So three of you are going to get a hit on this guy. He's going to have a shot. And Steve. And then, of course... as you guys can imagine, depending how this goes, the fight could flow towards the gate, or it could flow back towards you. This could get interesting. Kaitoa, you are first.
Yep. And Rob, may I ask? Is 10, that one gnoll? Is he the only one that notices so far, or is he the whole pack kind of thing?
At the moment, he's simply out of view of his companions, but they are not far away.
Oh, this guy's so fast, guys. Fast and quietly.
Here, Kaitoa, what did you pick up there at the weapon rack? Was that a great axe?
The great axe, a d12 plus 3.
Yeah, oh, okay, great axe.
Yeah, so I'm going to use my reckless attack, which gives me advantage to strength, but attack roll against me have advantage until my next turn. Oh, and I'm going to rage right now, because I still have that one, because I've only used one, correct?
Correct. You have two per long rest.
Yeah. I just want to kill this guy, and that's a d20?
Yep.
Wait. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And you've got advantage because of reckless.
Yeah. 17, and a 1.
The 17 hits.
And then 17 plus 5.
Yeah.
It hits.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that hit. With that sweet, sweet blade, 1d12.
A d12 plus 3?
Plus 3, plus 2, because you're...
Plus 2 for my rage.
Yeah. So plus.
So 1d12 plus 5. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yep.
So 1d12. Oh, 2. Fuck. plus 5, so a 7.
7 damage.
Yeah. That could have been so big! Fuck! That's brutal.
Sounds good.
Beleg, Kaitoa unleashes a huge swing from his great axe and cleaves a ham-sized chunk out of this gnoll's hide that he's open for attack, and you are next in the order of battle.
Well, get him to make a wisdom saving.
Okay. A wisdom saving throw. And what are we rolling against?
13.
So that's your spell?
Yep.
I rolled a 13. So it goes to you. It always goes to the attacker.
Thank God. Okay, well, let me roll a d12. And I do 11 damage.
What are you casting?
Toll the Dead.
Oh, nice.
It's a cantrip, so I'm not burning a spell slot.
Okay.
And it does damage, and then what if this guy dies, you get to scoop up some hit points?
No, not with this one.
Oh.
With this one, it's you point at one creature, and the sound of a dolorous bell fills the air around it for a moment.
No. The target must succeed on a wisdom saving throw or take 1d8 necrotic damage.
If target is
missing any of its hit points, which it is, it instead takes 1d12.
Which is why I rolled the d12.
Sweet, that's not a bad spell at level 0. Okay, so...
It's a fucking cantrip. It's fucking rad.
You said this gnoll, you just dealt him 11?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Agent Peleg, he just wags his finger. And the gnoll is swaying from side to side. He looks like he is on death's doorstep. Rook, you are up.
So I'm gonna engage him in my two weapon fighting here.
He just needs
to fight him off. Yeah. Yeah. Well, my two weapon gives me two chances, right? So my first attack, and then I get a second roll for second damage with my second attack.
Nice. So do you roll 1d20 first
for an attack? Yeah, and then I'll roll 2 for, well, depending on.
What did you roll?
An 8. 14. So.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Not 8 plus 6?
Yeah.
14. Yeah.
14.
My friends, 8 plus 6 is 14.
Yeah.
And yes. The 8, wait. Oh, shit. No.
Oh, it still misses.
AC is, let's just say you are 1 point away from his AC.
Ooh. Rook, as you take your swing with your short sword, you just miss this gnoll. He's dodging away. And as your momentum carries you forward, you have no momentum left for a second swing.
Yeah.
And Steve, you up top in your perch, you would see these gnolls engaging and your companions engaging. The other four have not noticed yet.
Okay.
Now the gnoll is going to act. And he lunges towards Beleg. 18. Does that hit your AC?
Yes.
You take 4 points of damage.
Oh, that's survivable.
And this gnoll has a very ragged-edged weapon. He thrusts straight forward and gets a piece of half-elf.
Steve, you're up.
So the other gnolls have not noticed?
No.
And
kill him.
How is he looking?
He's ragged.
He's like bloodied.
Ragged.
Yeah.
Okay.
I cleaved him, and then Brayden hit him really hard.
Brandon stabbed the air around him.
But very intimidatingly.
Yeah.
Okay, hair sprite. I'm going to throw 2 of my spikes at him.
From the roof?
Yep. The first one is going to be an attempt at being fancy, and it's a
sharpshooter. Nice. Yep. So -5 to attack, +10 to damage.
Sharpshooter misses, and the second one. Cool. So the second one hits.
10 damage instantly.
Yeah, the second one hits. Not so that was the non-sharpshooter one.
Damage.
I rolled a 19 for that one. Damage is. 6.
What did you throw? Did you throw one of your furbolg spikes? Did you throw one of your daggers?
Yeah, I tossed both of the furbolgs.
Furbolg spikes. Okay, one of these, you know what they look like? They look like railway spikes.
Yeah.
And from up top on the rooftops, you hear the whooshing of a thrown dagger, and it hits this gnoll in the top of the head. And he begins to fall to his knees as he makes a terrible, yapping screech. And he falls dead. He just takes a huge face full of ground. But as you four look up the street towards the gates of the castle, you notice that two of the four gnolls have turned around, and the other two have just launched. They've thrown grappling hooks up the wall to the towers.
Fuck, let's move on to the next two. We just, if everyone's okay with health, let's just book it for those two. Try and take them out, like right now, two are going up. Just did one, no problem. I'm good to go. I want to use this rage.
Yeah, you're still raging.
In a minute. Yeah.
Run towards the two on the ground.
If the other two have seen this, let's...
Yeah, I just start running right towards them. Yeah.
Okay, this is that one encounter. You guys actually managed to not alert the other one. So this is actually a new encounter. I would have used your 19, 16, 15 respectively, but these are two new gnolls. So everybody roll initiative one more time. These gnolls are
Dex, right?
15 for Belly.
15, Bella.
Oh, yeah.
16.
What the fuck? That's what you guys had last? No, that's Bellig and Rook. Okay.
I got a 16.
Yep.
Yeah.
Rook.
And I got a, what did I get? 7.
Okay.
Yep. I have an 18.
Nice.
And Steve, are you still hopping on rooftops?
Yep. Yeah.
Beauty.
Yeah,
so you got a sharpshooter up top. And Steve, sorry, where were you again? Initiative?
18.
Oh, wow.
Well, back on, baby.
Okay, so you're engaging two more gnolls at the moment, and if the other two get alerted, we'll see what they do. They'll just fall right in to initiative. Okay, Steve, you're up.
Wonderful.
You're charging along the roof, and you have, you have actually all four targets within your thrown weapon range.
Okay. Two are headed towards us.
Well, if you attack these two gnolls already climbing up the ropes of their grappling hooks, you will notify them, but you will also have advantage to hit. They are engaged in something.
As far as my sussing out of these characters, is there one larger than the others?
Hey, you're cutting out there a bit. Is there one larger than the others? Yes. As you suss out this group of gnolls, Steve. Yes, they are pack animals, vicious, supremely subservient to the dominant alpha gnoll. And one of the gnolls going up the grappling hook is clearly the largest. He is the one on the left. So two gnolls going up, one on the left tower, one on the right tower, two on the ground. Drawn weapons and engaging three of the party.
I want to... Is the alpha in range?
He is in range. He is about 15 feet up his rope.
Okay. I'm going to cast Hunter's Mark on him.
Marking him.
Yep. And then I am going to put two railway spikes into his brainstem. and I want him to fall in the grossest way possible. Like I want him to land like a bag of spam on the ground.
So you're trying to cut the head off the snake here, eh, Steve?
Yeah.
And you're shooting at his head as he climbs.
Back of his, I'm aiming for the base of his skull.
This will just be against AC. This is well within your talents to do.
Okay, cool. So both are going to be feated attack. I'm getting fancy with these. 21.
Holy shit.
And the other is a 17.
Both hit.
This is on the big alpha, right?
The big guy.
Yeah, Steve has seen a sort of, you know, target of opportunity that you guys haven't even engaged with.
Okay, so the first one, 4 plus 5 is 9, plus 10 is 19.
Jesus!
And
okay, hit is 1 for 19.
What? The second one that hits, also defeated, is 13, 15.
Total damage, 34? This gnoll is, the burliest of the bunch, the beefiest gnoll. Well, these spikes come whizzing in from a close distance. You three can only assume it is Steve putting two throwing spikes into the back of this climbing alpha gnoll's head. And they fall all the way down with a sickening crunch. And they are dead.
Hey.
The other climbing gnoll takes note and immediately rappels down and enters initiative with his two brethren.
Oh, so both rope dudes come down. Or just one?
One. They both come down, but one is very dead.
Yeah, oh, Steve has successfully killed the what we think is the biggest alpha.
Yeah. And so how many gnolls. Living gnolls?
There's three alive, two on the ground, one on the rope still.
Two dead. Yep.
Yeah.
So you killed the first
both
one.
Both are dead.
You killed the alpha, and now you have three.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boy. And
that's my opener.
Two on the ground, one on the rope.
I made quick work of him.
That's what I'm good at when I get a chance. But that's the opener for me.
So back to, so we have Steve. Kaito, you are next. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go right at the second guy with my great axe. I'm still in rage, and I still am going to reckless attack. Gives me advantage on melee weapon attacks. Yeah, using strength. So 13 plus 5.
That hits.
Which is a 9 plus 3 plus 2, so 14.
14 damage?
Yeah.
Hey! Whoa! Whoa, that great axe does some damage.
Yeah.
Kaitoa, you have swung and sunk your axe through the armor and into the shoulder of the first most of these gnolls. Next, Beleg. So you have three gnolls, one hurting. The Kaitoa just hit, another right beside the first, and the third who has just rappelled down to join the battle. The Construct and the Half-Orc Rook are flanking you here at ground level. Steve is up on the rooftops, and the Alpha Gnoll dead in a heap before the towers and the gate.
And I just injured one with a great axe.
Yeah.
All the gnolls, they look identical.
Well, Beleg, gnolls are very similar from gnoll to gnoll as you look at them. They're these hyena, humanoid, terrifying-looking creatures. And, well, actually, they see you looking at them. They see you going from gnoll to gnoll to see how similar they are. And an uninjured one screams at you. You're going to die!
All right, I use my action to cast Mage Armor.
Okay, casting that on yourself?
Yeah.
Does that give you an addition to your AC?
Essentially gives me 15 AC.
Okay, yeah. That makes sense. You're up by 3.
Yeah, you touch a willing creature that isn't wearing armor. Protective spell or protective magical force surrounds it until the spell ends. Target's AC becomes 13 plus its dex modifier.
Nice. Okay, so you just gave yourself 3 extra at AC. You're thinking this could be a bit of combat. Okay, is that your action?
Yes, Mage Armor.
Anything else? Bonus action. Free action's always fun. Taunt those gnolls. Say hey to your buddy.
Sneaky nuts.
Free action? Well, fuck, I'll gyrate.
Okay, nice. Okay, a little hip gyration.
Yep.
And this one gnoll is incensed by your gyration, Beleg. He is spitting and frothing in anger as the two other charge forward. So there are three left.
Three left.
We got three. One injured by an axe blow and two
freshies.
Fresh.
Two freshies?
And then okay, one is starting to look a little frothier than the other.
One's got a hard on for Beleg.
Yeah.
So, I'm gonna engage in a little two-handed attack here.
Which one?
The one that's got he's frothing for Beleg. So I'm gonna roll a d20 for attack.
Yep. Plus whatever modifiers apply.
So I rolled a 10, and I've got a plus 6 for my
madness. Yeah,
weapon.
Plus 4, and then plus 2. Yeah, so plus 6.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
So 16.
Okay.
I get to roll. Yeah, I get to roll 2 d6s for damage.
So that hits. Roll those 2 d6.
First one's a 4, plus my weapon is a plus 4, so 10.
Nice.
Or wait, no, 8. Sorry, 8. And then a second one is a 3, so plus 4 is a 7.
Oh, you get the dual wielder.
I get the dual, yeah, so my second one.
You get the bonuses, yeah.
Sweet. Fine. Yeah, go for it.
8, 7, is that total 15?
Yeah.
15 damage? Fuck. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Rook, you quite skillfully take an overhand chop, then a sideways slash. He staggers back, and blood spurts from his chest. He's not dead. He's bloodied, for sure, but he's still alive and kicking. And it's time for the gnoll attack. They all start chattering. And the first one takes a cut at Kaitoa.
Fuck.
4.
He's got advantage, or I'm at disadvantage.
Yeah, because of your reckless.
Yeah,
because
of my reckless. Okay, not 4.
Until the next roll against me, or my turn.
6. So neither of those hit. Okay. The next gnoll is also going to take a hit at Kaitoa.
Of course.
Pack animals. 5. And they have advantage. But 13. Does that hit?
16.
Ah, fuck. And the third gnoll.
Barley robot. Damn.
Seeing that their efforts are just clanging off this robot construct golem shell. Or maybe it's a warlock wearing some magic armor or something. They're going to switch their sights to Beleg. And sure enough, the frothy one that was incensed by Beleg's gyrating rolls. 16.
Oof.
That's good for...
You're 15.
That's good for my AC, but I am going to cast Hellish Rebuke on him.
Nice. Is that a reaction?
Yep.
Nice.
Oh, that's
one awesome. Reaction. You point your finger... you do damage me, so roll that first.
5.
Nasty. That's nasty.
One reaction, which you take in response to being damaged by a creature within 60 feet of you that you can see. That's all correct. Instantaneous. You point your finger. You love that shit. And the creature that damaged you is momentarily surrounded by hellish flames. Must make a dex save throw. If not, 2d10 fire damage and half of
it. Yeah.
Okay, dex. Now, these gnolls are pretty spry.
Yeah.
So, they have a plus 1 to dex. Here we go.
Dex save throw.
Am I going to smell some charred gnoll?
Yeah, I got to know.
Ah, fuck. 3.
Yep.
Yes!
Okay, so roll your 2d10 burnt gnoll.
Fuck, man. 2d10? Holy shit. Yeah. That's awesome.
That's not bad.
Oh, it's nasty. It's
very nice.
All right. 5 plus 10. 15.
Jeez.
And he's down.
This gnoll starts to see sparks out of nowhere appear on his fur, and the sparks ignite immediately into a fireball. And it's like, this guy is a big piece of pocket lint. He
I'm
just
so glad
goes
I can't
up
smell.
Immediately. And you guys smell like kind of burnt dog. The two so gnolls beside him both scream. The first gnoll that was hit runs.
And the guy I hit?
He's going to run past you guys, and he'll take an opportunity attack from any one of you.
Oh, fuck. We all get to roll for it then?
Yep, everybody gets to roll one free d20 on the fleeing gnoll. Dude, if you saw your friend burned up, I mean, come on.
I got a 4.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
I did
Kaitoa
not hit
takes
him
a swing.
Oh, plus dex, so 5.
Yeah. Nope.
Oh, no.
Got to hit his, still got to hit that AC.
Yeah, none of us did. Well, I mean, can you I, and me didn't. I rolled up. Yeah,
a sharpshooter, you going to try and throw something at him?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, have a free strike.
No yeah, one sure. gets away.
Should I be fancy about it? I don't have advantage, but
if you can, is he still going to, is this before he hits us?
So this gnoll is fleeing. There's one that's going to stay and fight. The one with full hit points is going to stay and fight.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. I'll toss a couple at him, see what happens.
Just gun him down.
First one is a 12.
Does not hit.
Second one is also a 12.
Does not hit. So this gnoll disappears into the night with just a little mournful yep, 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 yep. And the final gnoll is going to take his attack. Rook, against your AC. Fuck.
Yeah.
5. These gnolls, they're not rolling.
Yeah. That doesn't hit.
The gnoll takes a thrust at you, and he falls about like 2 feet short. He's just thrusting at air. Steve, you're up.
Okay. First off, is my bonus action.
Didn't Steve just throw a dart at someone?
Or it starts you guys all got a free opportunity attack.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So I'm going to, as my bonus action, apply my Hunter's Mark.
Okay.
And I'm going to give a sharp whistle and say, "Hey, ugly, up here."
Okay, you have his attention, and he looks right up at you.
I'm going to throw a dagger in his eye. All right. Same thing. Fancy, not fancy.
Up to you. I mean, do you? How often can you pull out that sharpshooter?
It's as many times as I want. I just get the minus
so
5.
You're just sacrificing the chance to hit for the damage.
Very much so.
Yeah. Up to you, buddy.
So first one is fancy. Second one is not fancy.
Okay.
Second one hits 15.
Yeah. Well,
that's a hit.
You. Doesn't do anywhere as much as a fancy shot, though. Fucking love that. That is a... So that's an 11 plus the Hunter's...
Hunter's
Mark. Sorry, hold on. No, hold on. It is a 5 plus Hunter's Mark damage, which is 1. So 6 damage.
Your first spike shoots wide of the mark and buries itself into a pile of debris, and your second spike shears his ear clean off.
Yeah.
And this gnoll just screams in pain. Kaitoa, you're up.
How long has it been since our first engage? Like, am I still in rage?
You are still in rage. You had a minute. That's 10 rounds. Tons of rage.
Oh, God. Yeah. That's a long minute.
You could rage all night.
Okay. Okay.
All night long.
Okay, I'm going to do the same. Reckless attack.
And
rage on the earless wonder.
Okay. Roll them up.
So I get a one on the first. But I'm still.
You get advantage.
Yeah, I get advantage.
Ready for advantage.
Another one.
Holy Whoa. Shit!
Can I use my inspiration here?
You can. Yeah. You can change. You can roll a third d20, and I'll take that inspiration off your sheet.
Oh fuck! A nine. Thank God. plus five. That just is, yeah.
That doesn't do it.
Yeah, no.
AC is 15. Yep. Okay, so Kaitoa steps two.
Oh no! Sorry, I was rolling a d12. Fuck.
Oh, shit, dude.
Oh my bad. Sorry, Technical. My mistake. My mistake.
Sure.
Those were great rolls for d12.
No, honestly, it was. Yeah, it was. Me. I just looked at it.
Heard that one before.
No. Whatever, I still got the hit.
I can tell you what, roll up your two d20s.
A 13 and a 9.
13 plus?
Plus 5. 13 plus 5.
So okay, so the first one hits.
18, yeah. Sorry about
roll
that.
Roll for damage.
Yeah, now my d12.
Now we're talking.
Right, I had it ready and I just fucking grabbed the wrong one. An 8 plus 3.
I like it. It's a self-imposed handicap. Caleb rolls with d12s. Just remember.
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah.
Because you're raging, you get that extra plus 2 as well.
So oh, yeah.
Oh.
13.
Hey! That's... Okay. This, this gnoll, for about 4 or 5 moves, you and the gnoll are kind of... You know, mambo, samboing, dancing back and forth. You strike to the left, he parries to the right. You thrust forward, he jumps back. And then at the fifth turning of this, he makes the exact wrong move and essentially maneuvers right into your blade coming down, and you cleave him stem to stern.
That's
and you have
better.
Dispatched your foes.
Aw, yeah.
Who is it down there? Who are you?
And just now, you hear shouting from above, up from the guard towers.
Yeah.
Can we quickly check these bodies?
Oh, but of course. And as raised voices reach the party's ears... Yeah, you go over to the three gnoll bodies right here, and there is a fourth a ways back. They do not look like they have much on them other than armor and weapons.
Hey, can you guys get those spikes I threw?
Yeah, I'll grab them. I pick them up.
No owl cool. yet, eh, Steve, to fetch?
Oh, thanks. Yeah, not yet.
Should I, like, roll a d4 to see which body I go to?
Yeah, everyone roll a d4 to loot.
D4?
Which one was the alpha?
One.
No.
I rolled a 4.
You have a first choice of looting bodies.
Well, the alpha.
One.
Yeah.
As you poke about, you have discovered a coin purse, and inside it are 5 silver pieces. This gnoll is wearing hide armor, a medium armor.
Oh, hide armor? Well, that's rad. I'm proficient in...
Yeah, I take it so you don't always have to use magic mage armor.
Okay, so Beleg, you've got some very doggy smelling hide armor. It's serviceable, yeah. And it doesn't take you any time to don this. So if you want to, we'll just consider that you spend your time putting on hyena hide armor.
Yep.
Okay.
We're doing that.
Done. Somebody roll next for looting gnoll carcasses.
I think it was me and Caleb were just ones each. One. So the alpha's done and the other one's done as well. Which one?
So you have 3 left? Carcasses.
3? I guess I'll go to the second.
Well, the second gnoll body has 1 silver piece in his jerkin. Other than that, his weapons are rudimentary at best. He is also wearing hide armor.
I'm going to take the hide armor and the...
Okay, Rook, so you are also equipping yourself with gnoll hide armor. It's not bad... and Kaitoa, you have 2 gnoll bodies, the one that you murdered first back at the mouth of the sort of alleyway, and then the third of the most recent encounter.
I will just take the third one because he's right there beside me.
He also has one silver piece in his jerkin.
Nice.
And he also has, as you root around his armor, what looks like a small amount of red dust.
Ooh, it's a bunch of that...
Red frog.
Red frog. I was going to call it schnurub.
Otherwise, this gnoll looks like the sort of... Like, he's the runt of the bunch. He's the smallest, smells the worst.
Sweet.
Steve, found Steve that. Is, like, sitting despondently watching you guys loot corpses while he, like, flips a dag- flips one of his daggers, like,
And so, as you conclude looting these corpses, you four look up, and you are hearing those voices again.
Who is it down there? Who are you?
And there are the dark outlines of helmeted town guards peering over the edge of the parapets. And that, friends and adventurers, is where we will leave you until the next time on Dungeons and Blackguards.
We didn't have to kill everyone.
We still killed a few people, though. Well, gnolls. They don't count.
They don't count.
You spared the guy eating soup. That was touch and go. That was touch and go.
There was no way Steve was going to be a part of that.
I thought for sure you got... Well, anyways, fun. I'm glad we got you guys out of collars.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so happy I got to use a reaction. I'm fucking hyped. Yeah.
You're all about the pointing of the finger, man. You're like Babu.
Yeah.
Very bad man. It's like he bursts into flame.
Very bad gnoll.
Bad.
Oh, dude. Okay, well, level two adventurers, I got to sign out. That was a great session.
Yeah, it's fucking one. Holy shit. Yeah.
Next Monday, guys.
Bye. Yes, Rob. That was rad.
Bye, Rob.
Thank you, guys.
Bye. Later, guys.
Thanks.